It's been 1 week since the last podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing has happened in the past week. Nothing interesting.
Nope. Good talk. Good podcast. Shortest one yet.
So yeah, that's why, despite the fact that you might think there's a bunch of things that have happened that we haven't talked about, they just haven't happened. Sorry, pals. Sorry, bros. Endgame didn't come out. John Wick 3, fuck that. What is even Game of Thrones?
Are we gaslighting our audience?
for sure. Yeah.
So all that did happen, and we're just bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see any of these pop culture things?
I saw Endgame. I ingested Game of Thrones as a whale ingests krill through tweets.
Yes. Okay, let's talk about that. So I have not seen a single episode of Game of Thrones.
My background is I watched up until like season 4, and then I was like, I'm like done here.
Yeah, I think that's when it started getting bad. So I think you got out like right up, according to other people. I'm not like, I don't actually know, but that's what I hear on the streets.
Yeah. And then Dave kept me in the loop, and I was also, like, on Twitter as each episode was happening, because I never leave that hell site.
So, one of my favorite things about the whole Game of Thrones debacle was the deterioration of respect for the show as each episode happened, because episode 1 comes out, people were upset about it, they didn't like it, but it was kind of tightly sealed. This is post-Endgame Twitter, you know, spoiler culture is on the rise. And as each episode progresses, I get more live tweets, more and more live tweets as people proceed to give no more fucks about the show and no more fucks about anyone, like, spoiler culture, anything like that. Like, by the final episode, everyone was just like, this dude is the king, fuck this show, I hate everything, like, immediately.
Yeah, so, right now, we're going to talk about Game of Thrones spoilers, in case that's still a relevant warning for anybody on Earth. Fucking Bran Dick don't work. Bran King.
Yeah.
Sansa, queen in North. Jon Snow, celibate. Night's Watch. Arya, badass. Christopher Columbus, minus rape and murder.
Yeah.
Ideally. The pack survives. Sophie Turner tattoo. Did Brienne live?
That's the one with the letter, right?
Brienne of Tarth.
Yeah, I don't know anything. She's the blonde one, right?
Yeah. Tall, yeah. Gwendolyn Christie. I love her. Super gay for me. Gay for her, me.
I think she's alive. I don't know anything.
Cool.
All I know is that I saw a lot of memes involving her letter. She was like reading a letter of some kind.
Yeah, okay. Sam wrote book.
Drop my mic.
Jamie Cersei die bitch ass death. Fucking unworthy. Unworthy. You create this monster woman of a villain. You give her power. You take her through all of the emotions and you kill her under a building. Get the fuck out. Get the fuck. That's not character development. That's a cop out. And I understand you only had 6 episodes, but you are HBO running the biggest show since The Walking Dead. You have the budget for 10.
So what I heard was that D&D, they like turned down a bunch of seasons. I also got to talk about that. So for the first like 6 episodes of, wait no, it's only 6 episodes. For the first 3 episodes, I heard people shitting on D&D, and I was like, yo, don't come at my hobby because your show sucks.
It's the writers.
Yeah. I was about 4 episodes in when I figured out what the fuck they were talking about. I was like, this doesn't even make sense. What you're saying that like the way people play D&D is like changing your hardcore gritty fucking show. I was like, no, fuck you guys. Like I was so ready to bitch and moan about it like that. But no, that's not what it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I heard that like HBO offered them like more seasons. They're like, nah, we're gonna make Star Wars. So they just like
You stay away from my hobby. You stay away from my Star Wars. Stop it. Don't even look at it. It doesn't exist to you. I'm yelling. I'm so sorry. Stop looking at Star Wars like that. D&D, stop it. Don't look at her. Don't touch her. She's my franchise.
Yeah, I don't know if these guys are actually bad writers or if they literally like didn't give a fuck about this last season or just like, hey, let's focus on Star Wars.
I think they maybe didn't give a fuck because a lot of the general consensus was I felt that a lot of people were really, really confused as to why some character arcs happened. And I was listening to Today Explained, which is a podcast that does like pop culture, politics, whatever. Like the biggest story of the day and every weekday. And they were talking about Game of Thrones. And they were like, well, a fantasy series really hasn't blown up in a while. And like sci-fi is different because it's like science fiction, not hard fantasy. And this is like the first one in like modern TV that's blown up. Yeah. And it's going to be a while until another one blows up. But had they had more episodes, they would have been able to flesh out character arcs a lot better and like give off the impression that they actually gave a fuck.
Yeah. Like Winter came and went. Like they spent the entire series talking about that shit. That was the meme. And apparently got dealt with in one episode, which is hilarious.
Yeah. Literally, Daenerys did a fucking 180 from like reasonable to crazy.
Yeah.
No buildup.
Because she heard a bell, I think it was.
Because she heard a bell and like her handmaid, like assistant, got murdered. I understand trauma does things to people, but a 180 over a 7-season character arc? Get out of my house. I didn't invite you here. Stop helping yourself to some tea. It wasn't for you.
Yeah, that's just crazy. And yep. It kind of makes me want to go back and watch the earlier seasons. Just
cause I know.
It's like a weird Romeo and Juliet where you start off knowing the ending and then you watch the rest of it in horror.
Actually, that would be really interesting. I wonder if anyone is going to come up with, like, you know how they, speaking of Star Wars, you know how they have that viewing order that's like you watch 2 and 3 and then 4 and 5 and then 6 and you leave out 1 because it really doesn't do anything plot-wise and also less Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, yeah.
But you miss the sick-ass pod race.
Yeah.
I wonder if anyone is going to, like, go back and do that for Game of Thrones.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
to see where everyone's, like, character stuff went and, like, how it fits in. Maybe it's different because it's TV, but I think that would be very interesting.
Yeah. I'm also curious to see someone try the old Romeo and Juliet thing where you started off by being like, hey, this is the end. And then have the entire thing be like, I don't want this ending. I know that's coming to happen. Because I find that can be pretty interesting. There was this, I don't know if it was like a study, might be strong, but it was some sort of experiment where they had people watch like movies with like crazy twists. And then they would tell people the twist and then have them watch the movie. And this like one study had, it's not conclusive, but it is interesting that they said the people who they gave the twist to before watching on average enjoyed the movie more.
Oh,
and I'm curious if that was just like a fringe thing. Maybe it depends on the movie. It definitely depends on the movie, like based on like how many signs there are of what's coming. But it's got me really like interested in like trying stuff like that out.
Yeah.
Or even straight up lying.
Oh, shit.
I remember I watched Zombieland. Someone told me that, like, spoiler for Zombieland. they told me that the redneck dude died. And so when you get to, like, the final, like, big conflict and he's, like, doing the self-sacrifice thing, I was sure he was going to die. Like, because, you know, it was spoiled for me. Like, the guy,
yeah,
the person who spoiled it for me was very matter of the fact about it. Like, it wasn't. And then he just survived. And I was like, oh, shit. Oh, shit. Like, I cheered way more than I would have if I was just watching the movie. Because, like, normally I would just be like, yeah, he's probably not going to die. It's, you know, nothing's going to happen. But since I was lied to.
Yeah, I love the spoiler fake out.
I'm curious if we could do that more. You get like a huge platform and then you lie. You say like, you say Stark gets the throne or whatever. And then.
Yeah. Ooh. I wonder if we could do that. If we could find like 12 people who haven't watched Game of Thrones or heard of it at all. It's going to be tough.
We're just going to have to go to some other country, ship 12 people to America.
Yeah, and then be like, hey, watch this TV show.
Sorry, but we don't have subtitles.
Six of them will be like, hey, listen, here's what happens. And they'll be like, what does that mean?
I miss my family. Oh, boy. Yeah, what else happened? Endgame. You said you Endgame. Saw Endgame.
I saw Endgame. I really had a moment. I thought I wasn't going to be emotional about Endgame because I haven't done the Avengers for so long. I just haven't been into superhero movies for such a long time. And then they showed footage from like the original Avengers movie and it just hit me in the theater. I was like, I went to the midnight release in my senior year of high school.
Yeah.
Of the original Avengers. And I was like, fuck, it's all coming back.
Yeah, I was surprised how much it hit me. Like, because I've been like not the biggest, but I've been a critic of Marvel films for a long time. But it really put it in perspective, just like how long these movies have been happening.
Mm-hmm.
And like, even though I didn't necessarily like love most of them, the fact that I've been watching them for so long makes it important to me in a way I didn't really understand until I watched Endgame. Also, all of the Hulk jokes landed for me. I loved Hulk.
He was great. I love the meme where it's him and then Professor Hulk. It's like... I don't know. This wasn't an example I found. Here, I'm making one on the fly. Me talking about how much I want Animal Crossing for the Switch versus how much I, like... how I am when I play Animal Crossing New Leaf is Hulk and then Professor Hulk.
Yeah. When Hulk dabbed, I screamed. But yeah.
Yo, Thor, my boy, he's my boyfriend now.
Yeah. I really liked what they did with Thor. I could have done one less fat joke. I think they did one too many, where it was just like it kind of felt like a little egregious. I'm cool with like, you know, mean jokes or whatever, but like there was a point where it was like I wanted them to take this whole transformation thing a little seriously, like specifically when he was, I think when his mom, like after like his mom like built him up, she did. I don't even remember what the joke was, but I remember being like, you know what? I could have just one too many. Just three would have been fine. Mm-hmm. They did four, and it just kind of messed it up for me. But I love when he calls the hammer back to him, and he's like, I'm still worthy. He's still like, worthy. Yes! That shit
and then
got
his
me.
Mom's like, you always were? Oh, God.
That shit got me. And I also fucking love just like in the final fight, you know, he ties his hair up, and it's all like... cool and dreaded and shit, and I was like, fuck yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
Dual wields. So good. So good. Fun movie.
I love you 3000 bit still murders me.
Yeah. Oh god. That was a lot happening there.
Yeah, there was a lot happening with Iron Man, and I was just like, fucking come on, Iron Man. And by the end of the movie, I was like, okay.
Pepper is his wife.
Pepper Potts.
Yeah, her fucking dude, give her an Oscar for that for the scene where he dies, spoilers or whatever.
Like, yeah.
Like the way she like keeps it together until he goes. Oh, that shit killed me. Oh, it killed me. She held her composure like the entire time. Like, she was strong for him. Like, up until he left, and then she broke down. I was like, oh no. Brutal. Fucking brutal.
Speaking of ladies, Peter Parker and all his moms.
Yeah, no, he's
Captain Marvel, Captain Marvel, back at the funeral with a pantsuit, gay haircut. I like cried.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, Pepper got me, and also just I'm a fan of old people, like so. Like, just, like, old love and shit, so fucking Captain America's thing got me, too. Like, just having him dance there. I immediately was thinking of Up, and then that shit ruined me.
The house did look like Up! Oh.
Yeah.
I'm so happy he got to, like, live his life.
Yeah. I was, like, so into the moment.
Yeah.
And then outside...
I was spoiled on that part, but I think I'm glad I was, because... I would have died. I would have fainted in the theater if I didn't know. Yeah. Also, Peggy having like skinny Steve on her desk. God.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh my God, yeah.
Tony meeting his dad.
He was an okay dude.
He's an okay dude. That really hit me because my dad's on a redemption arc right now. I was like, oh no, stop it. Why? Fucking the time travel stuff.
Yeah,
that was really well done, actually.
And it was so much fun, like seeing old shots from movies, but like from a different perspective. Like having them all go down the elevator after the end of Avengers 1. It's just what happened after that? They just have to go downstairs.
Or when Captain America gets in the elevator.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And then he says, Hail Hydra. So good. Oh,
so good.
Yeah, very fun movie.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, super fun. I did not have to pee the whole time.
Yeah, no, I held it together. And I bought a huge drink at the beginning. Like a dumbass.
I snuck my water bottle in, but I was like, I cannot touch this.
Yeah, but I think by the end, I ran out, like, to the bathroom. And there was, like, a line. I think everybody else had the same idea.
Any other pop culture stuff happen?
John Wick 3. I don't know if you caught that one.
I haven't seen it. But I just know they're fighting dogs.
Yes.
That, like, fight the bad guys. And, mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and they're owned by Halle Berry. They're her, attack
dogs. Oh my God, stop, that's so cute.
Pretty much my favorite. So it's like John Wick 3, or the entire John Wick series. Dumb action movies. But the thing that really elevates them for me is the world building. The entire, everything in these movies is, like, calling to John Wick's history. Like, he knows people. He has a past with people, specifically Halle Berry's character. They don't go into too specific of terms, but it's like these two have like a storied history, and she fucking hates him. And she hates that she has to help him right now. And like,
I want that movie.
Yeah. And it's like everything, just like all these rules and like this decorum. Like, it all paints this picture of like an interesting world that you're not a part of. And I'm fucking all about that.
Yeah, I love that.
So it's got your standard, like, you know, John Wick slapping people and, like, you know, shooting people point blank and breaking jaws with books.
Oh, that's what I'm going to do as a librarian. 10 years out in my career.
Yeah, it's like the first kill in the movie. He kills a guy with a book, and it's like, honestly might have been the best kill in the entire movie. So if you do watch it, keep an eye on the book.
I told you to be quiet.
Shh. Yeah, I recommend John Wick to everyone in the world. Unless, of course, you don't like gratuitous violence.
No, I'm fine. I'm probably going to binge them all in, like, a day.
So, yeah. Other pop culture thing. We are on the day.
Oh, damn. You didn't ask about my other HBO show.
Wait. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Chernobyl.
Chernobyl.
Walk us through that.
Okay, so what made me like actually remember it was like gratuitous violence. It's violent, but not like gratuitously so. It's like painfully so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like, all right. So the way it's structured, there's a podcast that goes with it, which I really enjoy listening to. But like, it starts out 2 years in the future. The main, like, scientist that's helping the cleanup effort commits suicide. They go back. Whoa. The title card is literally 2 years and 1 minute earlier. you see the reactor explode from someone's apartment window. And then you go into the control room. And it's this whole, like, everyone's denying what happened. Like, this isn't possible. We weren't trained for this. It's like this, it didn't, what you think happened, didn't happen. It's not as bad as you think it is. And so that's what they tell, like, the chain of command. And very, very quickly, the people that are on the ground trying to, based on, like, everyone's orders to stabilize the reactor, are doing so, like, what they should be doing. In such a futile manner, it hurts. So you see, like, all these firefighters come into the scene, and they're like, oh yeah, it's fire on the roof? No problem. Like, you know, so they're going through the motions. And then they start, like, skipping more and more in time. And I think they, like, got to, like, 6 months after the thing in the latest episode. They're in, like, November. And throughout this whole thing, like, we've watched people, like, deal with the effects of all the radiation they, like, took in. Deal with the effects of, like, neglecting the situation for so long. And then covering it up, even when other countries were like, yeah, our air is super radioactive. And we found the chemicals that were in your reactor. Inside. In your reactor. What happened?
Oh, I don't know. That's what a weird coincidence. Are you sure it's not? Yeah.
It was literally like, no, we're good. We're fine. We're cleaning it up. And then it left off with, are you going to, like, they find out how the whole thing went down, but they haven't shown anyone yet in the show. And so, the last episode was, like, the cleanup effort and then the research into how it exploded. And so the next episode is the last one. It's where it, like, all comes together. And we, like, in the trailer, there's a trailer at the end of the episode. We go into the control room and, like, minute by minute, they reconstruct what happened. And, like, holy, I'm so goddamn excited. Mm-hmm. There are very few historical events that I'm just, like, amped about, and this is one of them. It was made for me. Wow. So.
Yeah, I'm actually super interested in that. It's on HBO.
It's on HBO, yeah. It's only 5 episodes, and the last one comes out Monday.
All right, how do I steal HBO? Beep!
Sign up for a free trial.
Oh, all right. How long are each episode?
An hour 15 with the, like, all the previews and stuff. So, like, an hour.
Previews?
Yeah, there are previews for, like, other HBO shows, and then there's a trailer at the end of the episode, and then there's, like, a behind the episode after the trailer.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
And
a warning for anyone else watching it, or like planning to. Episode 4 gets a little rough with like animal violence. Episode 1 is real rough with like body violence. Episode 3 also very rough with like just maimery of humans. So but episode 2, not so much. Yeah, it's... Oh yeah, back to the violence thing. On the podcast, he was talking about, like, yeah, we kept this one shot in for, like, a little bit longer than it was in the final cut. And then one of our producers came up and was like, are you guys, like, starting to enjoy this scene? And it was, like, someone covered in radiation burns. And they were like... You know what? You're right. We'll cut it back. Because they didn't want to, like, glorify it at all, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
It's also apparently very accurate.
Yeah.
Like, there are people that grew up in that, like, not era, but that setting in the Soviet Union that, like, lived through what happened. And they were like, oh, yeah, like, we had those school bags. Like, yeah, we went to school on a Saturday. That was totally a thing before we switched over to a 5-day week. Like, we had that phone, et cetera, et cetera. So
they did their homework.
They really did their homework.
Yeah.
Highly recommend. And now that I've mentioned it on, like, every podcast possible. if you were disappointed with Game of Thrones, you will not be disappointed with this. Especially since we know how it ends.
Yeah. you come in knowing, which makes it another point to my theory that maybe we should just spoil everything.
Maybe we should just spoil everything. Every story that you're gonna tell has already been told.
Yeah, it's all about execution. Alright, join me in my hashtag spoil everything movement.
Yeah, I will.
Don't actually, because I'm a little bitch who, actually... It's weird because it's like I'm very anti-spoiler. Like, I wouldn't want to be spoiled, but I'm also not convinced that me being spoiled would ruin it for me. I just kind of I feel like I want to view it as close as to what the person who made it wanted me to see it as, and less so what would it be best as. If that makes sense. So if the movie's worse, but that's how the director wanted me to see it, like, I think I'd rather see it in that way. But yeah, I'm still gonna spoil everything because I'm the worst. Speaking of pop culture, we are on the day of the announcement of the release date of Death Stranding, and
yes,
it was also paired with a 7 to 8 minute trailer. Was it longer than that? I don't remember.
Yeah, 8 minutes.
Yeah. And what the fuck?
I still don't know what that game is, but I'm glad I don't.
Yeah. So I'm gonna see what I can piece together based off my memory. So you're Sam.
Mm-hmm.
You are. I don't know what makes you special, but
you deliver things across the fractured United States. Hideo, just want to talk. Do you know something? Like, is that where we're headed for?
I think he's paying attention. He's very he's baiting us all with, you know, him just liking, you know,
yeah,
Universal monster films, but he's actually super sociopolitically, you know, activated.
Yeah, he's baiting us by being a freeaboo. But I think he's onto something.
Yeah, he can see the future. He's pregnant men will follow women to avoid black sludge.
Yeah.
And save America.
And gasoline. I can't remember if I told you this off the podcast, but alone we fail, we're doomed. Alone we have no future just sounds like a ringing endorsement for social anarchy.
yeah, so yeah,
so
it's weird. So effectively, here's what the gameplay looks like. You go around.
There's some stealth.
Yeah, there's some stealth. You have like a backpack filled with shit. and you got to use it to get around. Like they showed a ladder, you mm-hmm. would like pull a ladder, but it also seems physics based, where mm-hmm. like he had to do it at a specific distance, knock it over, and then was able to climb on it. Yeah. I don't. Maybe it was preset. There are ladder locations, but I think it's pretty freeform.
Yeah, I don't think that's physics so much as just like distance.
Yeah, yeah. But what I was trying to describe is like, I think you have full control of where you put the ladder, and it's not like, oh, here's the ladder point. Like,
oh.
Attach the ladder and then go to the next area. It was like, hey, you need to get up there. I have this ladder that I can place anywhere. And I'm going to use it to, because the way it is, it's like it projects upwards and he like pushes it a little mm-hmm. bit, and it kind of like lands and like wobbles a lot. I don't know. It's kind of hard to describe, but the way it looks, it didn't look like pre-generated. It looked like that ladder fell and then he climbed on it, you know?
Yeah, it looked like you're playing in a sandbox.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a fight scene where people tried to steal your packages.
Yeah. He's running away all goofy like with his giant fucking backpack. And then like a guy is coming at him with like a stun stick, and then he just clips his backpack, and then he loses something. So
yes,
I don't know. They showed the names of all the characters in the game, and some of them are really great. My favorite being Die Hard Man.
Yes,
I'm trying to remember. It's Sam, Heartman, Fragile. Dead yeah. Man, Die Hard Man,
Amelie. However, they said Amelie.
Amelie.
It was wrong. All I know is that. Like a guy egg on his book.
I think it was like Gloss and like Mads Mikkelsen.
Mads Mikkelsen.
There's his a lot of Mads Mikkelsen in this trailer.
Yeah, we need to talk, Hideo, because I too like Mads Mikkelsen. More than your average person, I bet.
Yeah.
It's okay. You can Death Stranding can be your coming out game.
Yeah, he just puts Mads Mikkelsen in a bunch of different outfits. And looking back, it makes a lot of sense. Snake's ass has always been great every single mm-hmm. game.
Mm-hmm.
Raiden was straight up naked in his game, Metal Gear Solid 2. You got to see his bare ass. Lots of just dudes fighting, wrestling, you know? I think this will be Kojima's coming out game.
Did you see how many, like, just fucking attractive people he put in that trailer?
It's true. And they all look so pretty, too. It's like...
Yeah, they all look great.
This game feels like the game David Cage has been trying to make his entire career.
Stop.
Like if David Cage had an ounce of talent, like just
like David Cage is gonna get his hands on this game and nut.
he's gonna have a sad nut. He's just like, why can't I do this?
The UI looks super interesting.
I'm all about UI, man.
Yeah.
That shit is.
I really think like this, and from what I've heard from just like Waypoint, Cyberpunk 2077 and Death Stranding are going to change the way that people do AI, period. Or UI. AI? UI.
We're going to have artificially created UIs.
That's God, the future, please, man. Choose my weapons for me.
Oh, that'd be crazy. It's like, what's best in this situation? Like, the AI decides for you.
I don't like that, actually.
Yeah, it sounds super bad. I want a game that's like, that's what it's about. And then it gets, like, super fuckeredly towards the end as, like, the AI starts making most of the decisions for you.
What if the AI is, like, the big boss, but you don't realize, you don't, like, find it out until the end of the game, and it actively sabotages your battle with it?
Yeah. You have to find some way to add some anime.
David Cage killed my level.
You're gonna have to find some way to add some anime-like human willpower to defeat the AI menace.
Yeah, it's the power of friendship.
For sure. The only thing that can beat algorithms is love.
Yeah. Because love makes people do stupid things.
And stupidity is the opposite of computers. So that's the plot of Death
Stranding. TM, 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 we're working on it. Don't steal.
So I'm so ready for this game to have, like, the worst fucking ending. Just, like, the most bizarre, fucking garbage, dumb, stupid, idiotic ending that makes absolutely zero sense. Except for, like, and then we're gonna have the war of, like, every irrational human being, like, that was dumb as shit. And then these Kojima tryhards are just like, no, you don't get it. The umbilical cord, and the baby, like,
it's okay. You can say Dan Reichert.
Oh, I'm so fucking ready for that. I'm ready for the outrage. I'm ready for all that comes with this fucking shit show. Even if it's great, it's gonna be a shit show. I can't wait for this game.
I can't wait for, like, the theory crafting, because that was my favorite thing about Bloodborne. In the first, like, week it was out, everyone was like, here's what's happening, and then it was all wrong. But the point is, we tried.
Yeah, for sure. But that's my... Yeah, I feel like games have almost picked up on that, the almost, like, water cooler aspect that we're missing because of, like, Netflix just, like, dumping entire seasons of shows. It's just like, you don't get to be like, yo, what the fuck is gonna happen? Like, what the fuck does this mean? Why is this happening? What's gonna happen next?
I can't wait for this to be like a conversation starter. Like, no matter what, people are gonna be talking about it.
Yeah, it's like...
And I find that very exciting.
It's like, who's Amelie? Why is she always so far away?
Yeah, how would she die? She's probably dead.
Yeah, she's gonna be in the death. This game is set up so perfectly for all kinds of fuckery. I don't understand how Kojima does it. How do you even, like, come up with this many, like, possible Deus Ex Machina / plot twist devices? Like, you have the death juice, which is, like, also another spirit world. No one who's dead actually dies or stays dead. They become a part of the juice. There's,
are you the, got babies, the babies lost in the sauce?
I don't know.
Because it's a bridge. If the death world is like where the babies live, and in the pod mentally, and the pod's where they live physically, and you bridge, it's the brain connection. Babies live in the death world, and you live in the life world, but you use the baby brain to get to the death world.
Yeah.
And that's just how I feel like the theory crafting for this game's gonna go.
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
Something.
I can't fucking... And it's like, it looks super dumb.
It looks so dumb.
You're just a dude walking around with like a fucking exo, like a light exo suit, and you got a huge backpack, and
you're
your
delivering
main goals
packages.
To reconnect
you're
the
delivering
world.
Someone's Amazon order,
but it's like a really important Amazon order, so like,
yeah, it's for the president. Isn't that who that old woman was?
I think so. Who knows?
Yeah, like, you're president of jack shit. Also, what an insult.
Can we talk about my boy Troy Baker? He left such a huge impression in Metal Gear Solid 5 that Kojima was like, hey, do you want to be a part of the star-studded cast and just be in my fucking game?
Yeah.
He's like the only, I was going to say non-actor, but that's fucked up. Non-voice actor to, like,
now,
have his
just
face.
Put him in the game so he could get weed, which is very hard to get in Japan.
Can Troy Baker confirm or deny this? Please, at Troy Baker. Let him know if he's responsible for getting Kojima's weed.
Oh, 100%. 100%. He tweeted about it, like, years ago.
Oh, really?
When Death Stranding was, like, he was first making it, he was working with Troy Baker, and he was like, Wait, let me find... You're gonna have to cut, like, this next minute out, but hold on.
Okay.
Oh, no, it was for Metal Gear Solid 5?
Yeah, that makes sense. He was there, too. Maybe that's why he's in this game. He was like, thanks for the weed. Want to be in Death Stranding.
Yeah, I found the, like, original ass screenshot. It's... With Troy Baker, actor for Ocelot, he sold me some weed, hard to get in Japan. It's like a screenshot of like the original tweet.
Did they have to delete it?
I think so.
Unfortunate. But we know the truth, Troy Baker. Nothing's really gone on the internet, just like no one really dies in Death Stranding. So, I've come into a sort of musical renaissance.
Ooh.
So, this is going to sound really dumb, but I started listening to albums as albums. So,
is this because, what's his name? Tyler, the Creator, came out with a new album and was like, listen to it in order at least once, please?
I didn't know he asked that, but yes, he does have a part to play in this story. So it started with Anderson .Paak's Oxnard album. He has like two bonus songs at the end, which aren't even my two least favorite songs on the album. But I remember having the thought where I was just like, I feel like this album would be better if those two songs weren't there. And I was like, huh, wait a second. And then it started to hit me. I was like, this album is a complete piece of work and each song can be a piece of that story. And I know for most people, or for a lot of people, they're like cringing and being like, yeah, that's obviously what the fuck were you doing listening to albums before? This is what I was doing before. I would listen to the album and I'd be like, okay, this song has 6 songs I like. Good album.
Yeah.
This song has 8 songs I like. Good album. And now I'm sort of beginning to listen to albums as kind of like complete pieces of work, which is a bit harder because I have to pay attention more and I generally like to listen to it in like one sitting, and depending on the album, that can be very painful. But fuck, this changes everything. There's so many albums that I liked, but like I'm now appreciating on such a different level that I wasn't before. Like Tyler, the Creator's new album, Igor, I don't think me a year ago would have liked this album. It's not really a sound I'm used to or like listening to. But I was kind of able to take it for what it is and kind of like listen. I don't know. Even though it's got a very modern sound and I don't really fuck with modern hip hop all that much. I was able to kind of like step back and like listen to its pieces as, you know, I would a more traditional, like, classical track, and think of it, of, like, its instrumentation and its composition in a more, like, basic way in terms of, like, why did they make this choice? What emotion is this song track trying to convey? And then it clicked on my second listen through. I was fucking, your boy was into the story and was completely absorbed in... And what the story was trying to tell. Also, gotta say, love my boy Tyler, the Creator. He's I feel like he's all grown up now. he was an edgy little shit, and now he's like a fully matured butterfly. It's been really cool to kind of see him change in that way. Yeah.
It's really interesting seeing like artists that you look up to go through like life and how their music reflects it.
Yeah,
it's just so fucking cool.
Yeah, like this is like another breakup album, but it's like very, I don't know, it's it goes through, it's a bad relationship. And the song kind of goes, or the songs go through kind of like the toxicity of like both people in the relationship and like why it doesn't work. And like the last couple of songs are like post breakup and like going through what that feels like and coming to terms and accepting that. The fucking, it's, yeah, it's a great album. And I now have to like re-listen to every fucking album I've ever listened to. Because I was a dumbass who only listened to songs one at a time. But it's going to be an interesting experience. And I'm looking forward to doing so.
Yeah, I've been waiting on Igor. Because I also want to listen to it like at least once.
Yeah.
In one sitting all the way through. And I just haven't had the time to do that.
Yeah, like it's not, luckily it's not too long. Lots of the albums I'm listening to, or lots of the albums I loved in the past, I'm now realizing are just like way too fucking long. It's just like, I'm gonna have to be here for like an hour and a half or something. Like maybe that's a bit much, but like, yeah, it's a lot. Also, something I'm coming to realize that I have to listen to an album twice to really get it. Mm. The first time through, I generally like, I don't know, it most things don't stick for me, but the second time through, it's like everything starts making sense, it starts clicking. So that's gonna add double the time to to my adventure going back in time through music. But yeah, now like that shit unlocked everything, because now I'm like, fuck, I've been sleeping on modern music. Like I gotta start listening to all the shit the kids are listening to and trying to like figure out why they're listening to it, you know.
I haven't had that yet. I just like, I'm like, a Post Malone? Okay. I will cherry pick songs from Post Malone.
Yeah, I'm definitely still gonna be like a playlist guy who's like, I like this song. Yoink, yoink, yoink. Mm-hmm. Cause I just love to sing, and singing in my car brings me a lot of joy. So I listen to Janelle Monáe too. I was listening to her most recent album, was not vibing with that at all. I'd kind of had built this thing up in my head of, I've never listened to any of her music, but like I love and respect her like image and like the power that she emits at all times. And so I was listening to her most recent album and I really wasn't feeling it. I didn't listen to it all the way through. I only got to like the first couple of songs and then I was like, eh. And luckily, Tiff suggested maybe listen to something older. Fuck! She's so good. She's like... Yeah. I've never heard someone sing in like so many different styles. Always powerfully with zero effort. Like, I feel like effortlessly she just like will belt out these notes and like make interesting sounds with her voice and throat. And it's just like, fuck, she's so good. How have I slept on this chick for so long? Like, oh my god. I think the album that killed me, I think it was Arc Android. It's like 2013 or something like that. But yeah.
Right. I should go back and... Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no. It just blew me away. Like, because it's also just like, she does like 1,000 genres like in that one album too. It's like she straight up has like a fucking rock song where she kills it with like like insane vocals. She does like opera shit, straight up jazz vocals, you know, R&B, funk. Like she does it all. And it clicked. I was like, oh yeah, so she's not just bullshit. It's more than just, you know, she has a high charisma score. You know, she's actually that badass.
But she has a high charisma score.
She definitely also has that charisma score. But she doesn't just walk the walk. She doesn't just talk the talk. She walks the walk.
Yeah.
And I'm very happy. I'll probably give that album I wasn't vibing with another shot. Because at first I was just kind of like, it didn't mesh with what I had in mind for her.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, no, this isn't what I expected. But now that I kind of have that backing, I think I'm gonna give it another listen.
Yeah, I need to go back and listen to her old stuff, because so far the only song that I've liked off of think her latest was Dirty Computer.
Yeah.
Was Make Me Feel.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't end up getting all that far because the first couple were just like, this sounds like whiter Katy Perry. And I was just like, I'm not feeling this right now. I'm like, where's the soul? Where's the funk? And I found that in her older albums. So yeah.
Yeah. Music good, dare I say it.
Yeah, the thing I'm gonna miss most about being alive when I'm dead, even though I can't technically miss. What a fucking sentence that was. Will be music for sure. Like,
yeah,
that feeling when you hear a good song and it goes deep and you feel it from, like, I don't know, you get the chills. It's so good. Speaking of which, listen to some psychedelic music while really fucking high. A lot of fun.
Yeah.
The music hits you in ways that it does not do normally. I was listening to the first track off of Redbone. Is that album even called Redbone? Who the fuck knows? Childish Gambino's the one that has Redbone on it. The first track on it, it starts off like super like psychedelic and like, and that shit fucked me up. Like I could feel the music in my brain like bouncing around.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Super weird.
I almost bought a vape. I didn't want to stand in line to get in a dispensary.
Yeah. I hear the stuff with the dispensary is pretty strong, though.
That's okay.
So yeah, this has been the LifeCast, episode 125. If you enjoyed our conversations, we do other podcasts. This podcast will generally have more people in it, but it's just a 1v1 today. Yeah, at thelifecast.net, check out all those sorts of things. I've been joined by Deanna Manassian. I just realized I did not do an intro today.
It's fine. It's fine.
We just jumped right the fuck in. Yeah, do you have anything you want to plug?
If you like the 1v1 podcast format, Julia and I do a podcast called This Bitch of an Earth, which is a positivity podcast out of spite. I stream on Twitch at twitch.tv/nerdco. And I don't have a schedule, but I'll announce it on Twitter, like, well in advance. Twitter.com/nerd. I have a Patreon. I have a coffee page.
Ooh.
Wait. I'm not affiliated with Twitch yet, so.
So how's the coffee thing work? I thought that was for, like, artists. Can you also, like, write stuff?
Yeah. Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm creating tweets and podcasts on both Patreon and Ko-fi. And I'll link them both on my Twitter at some point.
Cool. All right. Oh, and my name is Gregor Fernandez. I am the host for today. And this has been the LifeCast. Peace. Watch your back.